MoneyWeb now on The Money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Chatting now with Jacques Conradi, CEO, Peregrine Capital. Jacques, appreciate the early morning. In your latest letter, you're talking around the sort of first half of the year. You've been in the market a day or 12. I mean, does this stand out as perhaps one of the more tumultuous periods in markets over the last couple of decades? And maybe not standing up quite to the 07, 08, but 08, 09. It was pretty wild for periods there back in April.
Morning, Simon. It was indeed, hey? It was really a standout period. And I guess my gut is this is what we should expect with Trump's second presidency. I think the first one, we know it was wild and the tweet scores moves, but now he's both still like that and he actually knows how to implement things because he's figured out Washington. So I think it's going to lead to a particularly exciting period of markets over the next 3 or 4 years. I'm unsure whether it's always good for the world, but certainly it is great for volatility. I think it's great for a portfolio management team that can move fast. And I think, to be fair on this trade outcome, I think it caused some long-term damage to some trading relationships and some partnerships with Europe and other countries. But at least the outcome signed so far, you have to say, is really good for the US, probably, what came about in the end.
Yeah, 15% in Europe. I can't see anyone happy with that except for America. You mentioned opportunity, and it's one of the points that you make, is that during that sell-off, you were able to start building a position in Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company. I mean, they are the preeminent by long way chip manufacturer in the world, and those sort of sell-offs, that volatility, which might be a continued feature of the second Trump presidency, that is opportunity for you if you're knowing what you like and are nimble enough to react.
I very much agree. I mean, unfortunately, TSMC and NVIDIA, actually, we were just late on in the start of the AI cycle. We caught a lot of the software beneficiaries, but we were too late on that. And then I think one of the things we've learned in our process is when we're a little bit late on something, let's do the work, let's get ready, and let's watch for a pullback. So these things have been on our radar screen for like the last kind of 6 or so months, and we just thought valuations were too high, both NVIDIA and TSMC. And then I think if you have a prepared mind and you have your watch list of shares ready with their targets, I think often these sell-offs are the best thing the market can throw at you, provided that you are in the right frame of mind. And I think it's so important for us as a team and as a hedge fund, both for clients and ourselves, if you can hedge the downside, you are just on the front foot and then you want to buy stuff when they're cheap. If you're overexposed, you didn't hedge, obviously then you're panicking with everyone else and that's why the market's low. So if you can try to make sure that you somewhat see things coming or you're prepared, then I think being in the right state of mind in those panic times is such a huge competitive advantage.
It's an interesting point because you mentioned that you were all in early on the 3rd of April. 2nd of April, of course, was Liberation Day. You all came in early on that day and you hedged the portfolio. The obvious one is that gives you some downside protection. But I like that point that you're making there. It also just kind of clears the head. It makes it, frankly, less scary.
Yeah, I think this game is as much mental as it is quantitative. So you got to do the work. But, I mean, markets are a wild ride at times, especially, like you said, the last 6 months. And if you can keep your heads when others are uncertain or unsure, I just think it's a big advantage. So just kind of paying some premium away for that mental clarity at the time when you need it most, I think is vital.
Yeah, I think it's a great way to look at hedging. You talk around AI in your latest letter to fund holders. And you talk around artificial intelligence and your increasing optimism around it, new revenue opportunities for companies. It really is. I mean, we are in very early days. A phrase I heard over the weekend, AI is the worst it'll ever be today. It'll be better tomorrow. We've got ChatGPT 5.0 coming soon. This really is a fundamental changer. And in many senses, I mean, you talk new revenue opportunities. It's hard to imagine what half of them are even going to be when we chat in a year or 3 or 5.
I'm 100% with you, Simon. I mean, one of the points I've made to the team and even to friends and family is, if you look at the entire 200,000 years of our history as a species, as Homo sapiens, I would argue that it is the most exciting point to be alive right now as we speak, because we might see a new higher level of intelligence emerge and what that potentially will bring for the world in how we will live our lives in 10 or 20 years, the new technologies that will be possible. I think it's just an extremely exciting time to firstly be alive and then to be an investor, to figure out which companies do we own. shown to benefit from this. I think we've got a nice portfolio of them right now in these global tech companies that provide the infrastructure, but that also, I mean, Meta will be better able to target ads. And at the same time, they'll be able to probably in time reduce costs because the AI will write off your code, but there will be new exciting things that emerge. And things like education, healthcare are things I'm particularly excited about. So I think we're going to have to keep our eyes open. There's going to be so many opportunities.
Yeah, and it makes that, I mean, the CapEx spend seems crazy at this point, but the revenue is going to, in many cases, to be clear, there might be some misspends, but revenue is probably going to get there. To quickly bring it back home for last question, you mentioned GDP. Really, we're stuck at that 1%. And yet there are opportunities to find companies where management can really execute in this market. And we do have some excellent management teams, as witnessed by their ability to grow profits in frankly a zero growth economy.
I'm very much with you there. I mean, we always say, what is the economic outlook? But then what is the multiples on shares, or what is the price you're paying? And you've got to compare those two. And right now, as you said, that the outlook is not great. The outlook's for 1% GDP growth. But you are getting compensated in that the price you're paying for a lot of these high-quality domestic SA names are not high at all. It's kind of low by historic standards. If you look at the retail sector, currently you can get the best food retailer, ShopRite, and probably the biggest and one of the best clothing retailers, Pep. You can get them for very reasonable multiples, and they're both growing at very nice rates. So I think at least one of the offsetting factors to the weak growth is there is low multiples in the market right now. And there's really these teams, let's say something like ShopRite, that's just executing incredibly, continues to take market share, makes all of our lives better through these amazing 60-60 offerings and just how good that is. So there are enough winners, and that's the reason why we still have a fairly meaningful part of the portfolio in SA, is because we can find company-specific bottom-up kind of opportunities. I don't think it's one where you can just buy the whole domestic SA market.
Yeah, 100%. There are some standout winners there, and the valuations are deeply attractive. We'll leave it there. Jacques Conradi, CEO of Peregrine Capital. Always appreciate the early morning. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.